I want to read just a few verses out of Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. And at the end of the chapter, verse 26 down through verse 28. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. When they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Amen. We have here, given in the book of the Acts, a reason for the testimony I'm going to give tonight, and that is a rehearsing of what God has done for us in these last few days. Now, the Lord did lead us again to go to Liberia, as you know. This was our eighth trip. I find it hard to believe that in the last 5 years we've gone eight times to Liberia. But the Lord knows that that has happened, and the Lord is blessed in all of those trips. This trip was a good trip. I came away from the trip rejoicing in what we saw, in seeing some stability in the work and some maturity in the work. And with that, we thank the Lord. We arrived on Friday evening and then began the workshops first thing on Saturday morning. Had workshops on Saturday and then Monday to Saturday of the next week. Had 25 lectures I gave on theology and going over Bible doctrine and answering questions. Questions were very good, very good time of question and answers. Every day was 2.5-3 hours in the morning of lectures, followed by the afternoon of another 2.5-3 hours of lectures. Every night was packed with something else. We were interviewing men from the different churches, trying to see what their needs were and meet those needs. We had at least three of the nights taken up with that. The first night, Saturday night, we were there. We went to the radio station of a Baptist minister, Richard Wesley. He's playing our sermons throughout the week, as well as the sermons of many Free Presbyterians. Paul, she actually asked him, I think, whether he'd be willing to change the name to the Free Presbyterian Church, since he had so many of our men on. He hasn't done that yet, but nonetheless, he had us over, and we were interviewed on the radio. He talked to us about what we were going to do and what we were planning. And at the end of that conversation, he invited me to come back on Thursday night, where there was a call-in show. I don't know how many of these he's had, but certainly it's the first one he's had in a long time. And so he announced throughout the week that I was coming, that I would be dealing with false prophets. Well, in Liberia, Chester can tell you, there are a lot of false prophets. And so people had a lot of questions, and what was supposed to be an hour-long call-in show ended up being almost 2 hours long. And the Lord certainly blessed. At least a dozen people called in, and in responding to their answers, you had a chance to preach a message and then another message and another message, depending on what was suggested by the question. So that was very good. We thank the Lord for that opportunity of giving the word out over the air. We had the workshops. We are in three of our churches, the churches that were closest to Painesville. This year, we were actually holding the workshops in Bala Creek with Saki Mulba. We had not had workshops there. We'd had them in Painesville the first four trips, and then we had them in Gardnersville the next three trips. So this was the first time we were in Bala Creek. It's a little ways away from the other two churches. And so when Joanne Greer had her Bible clubs, the children that she dealt with were all new. As you remember, she had over 70 young people at the Bible clubs in Gardnersville every year that she had the Bible club. Well, she did the same here. Rather than have the Bible club in the morning, though, we had it in the afternoon, because many of these children were going to school away from the area. Soon as they got back from school, they made a beeline to the church, couldn't wait to hear Joanne Greer give scripture lesson as well as teach them songs about Christ. So she had a great time with that. And one of the mornings, she actually had a lecture for the ladies. Just before we left, she sent me an email, said somebody had asked her if we could have a lecture helping the ladies with the Bible club. And I said, that's great, but I said, I don't have time to prepare that at this point. I'm working on these other lectures. So you prepare something and we'll let you speak to the ladies. Well, the ladies came on the wrong day. They all came out to hear. It was a day early. And then they came back the next day, and she must have had 30 ladies there trying to hear what she had to say about running these Bible clubs. And so she was greatly used that way. We were in three of the churches, as I said, on Sundays, two the first Sunday, one the second Sunday. And in those churches, we not only held regular services and preaching, but also we had communion. So this is, I think, the third or fourth communion Sunday for me in a row. It's good. I enjoy communion and meeting with the Lord around the table. But for them, they do not have communion until we come. Until they are licensed and their work are officially established, they don't have the right, as it were, to just have the communion table on their own. So we do that for them when we're there. And it's certainly a blessed time to be around the table and to seek the Lord's face together through the blood of Christ. With that, we had a few good things that we learned and were encouraged by. The people coming in from River Cess, one of the older men came and he said, "Do you remember the first time you came?" And I said, "Yes, I certainly remember that." He said, "Well, on that occasion, my daughter was saved." I didn't know that. And he says she would like to be baptized. And so it was a rejoicing for me. You don't know how the Lord is dealing with the hearts of the people every time you preach. And yet on that first occasion when we didn't know anybody and we were meeting people for the first time to see that this young lady had been saved. She's now an adult and she wants to be baptized. So we hope in the fall to make that a reality. It was no way that we could do it this time given the schedule. And it was already packed, as it were. But that was an encouragement to my own heart that the Lord has been using the word. The second encouragement to my heart was a young man by the name of Nathan Barkle. Nathan is the son of Sister Yasa. We've heard her name a number of times in our reports because she was one of the founding members. She's one that Chester knows very well, was in the group that he was pastoring before he had to come away from his country and come here. Well, her son was a Jehovah's Witness leader. He was instructing others in the Jehovah's Witness cult. And that first time we were there, the last Sunday, he got saved. And then it was two other trips later that he came to me and he says, "You know, is my baptism as a Jehovah's Witness, is that valid?" And I said, "No, it's not valid. You were baptized in the name of another Christ. That Christ doesn't exist. You need to be baptized in the name of the real Christ, the scriptural Christ." He says, "I thought that was the answer you were going to give. Would you baptize me?" And so the second baptismal service we had, where we had 17 that were baptized, he was one of those 17. Well, this time when we came, Paul C. said to me the second or third day, he said, "You know, Nathan has been having a Bible study." Well, I knew Nathan was going to college. He said he's been having a Bible study, and he wants to know if you'll come and speak on that Friday night at the Bible study. I said, "I'll be happy to do that." And so I prepared something for college students. And then we took the long drive over there back into the villages. And when we got there, it wasn't college students at all. Here were 70 young people sitting around on chairs and benches. There were older teenagers as well that were there. There were parents that were there. And it was in the middle of the village. So there were parents around in the their dwellings as it were listening. We must have had 100 people there. And Nathan had just taken upon himself when he was going through a village. He saw this young fellow about 7 years old praying, and he came and he said to him, he said, "You know, you're not praying according to the knowledge of Scripture. Would you mind if I instructed you in the Word of God?" And the young man was thrilled with the idea. And so being thrilled with it, Nathan then went to the parents and they said, "Yes, we would love to have you instruct him in the ways of Christ." Well, the one thing led to another. And as it's turned out, Nathan's been going to that village and to that area every night at 5 o'clock, except maybe two nights of the week. As a result of that, his sister, who's also called Sister Yasa, she has been coming and teaching the Bible Club songs that Joanne Greer has been teaching. And so there are 70 young people, and they're there every night. Can't wait for him to come. And at 5 o'clock every night, well, the older folks were there and the parents, and they were saying, "You know, we're thrilled with what this Nathan is doing, and we want him to continue on. We want our children to know about Christ." So we may have the beginning of another church. We're not sure, but I was, say the least, more than pleasantly surprised. Here's a young man that was saved on our first trip, and he's going out and evangelizing, and this is what the Lord is doing through his own efforts to try to bring young people to Christ, and he's having a testimony among the older children as well as the parents. And it was just a thrill to be there on Friday evening and speak to him, a thrill to my own heart to see one that had been converted and how the Lord was using him. We had 9 churches represented in our workshops that I know of. Pastors and assistants were there, probably a dozen or more. Four of those are Free Presbyterian Mission churches. Three of them from the very area where we were laboring, and one all the way over in Riversess. Two of those nine, though, want to be Free Presbyterian Mission churches. One is from Foya County up near Guinea, way up in the north. It's about a 12, 13, 14-hour drive, depending on what condition the road is on the day you drive it. The other one is on the other side of Buchanan. Buchanan is halfway between Painesville, where we are, and the Riversess. Riversess 5 hours away. And there's a church that's being started there just a little ways on the other side of Buchanan. Dave DeCanio had the opportunity of going to that church just as he was getting ready to leave Liberia in January. The word came out that a white man was coming to speak. They hadn't seen a white missionary there in that generation. And so the numbers, which are usually 40 or 50, swelled to 96, 100. And Dave, they said, preached with great power, and there were six people who came to Christ as a result of the preaching. We thank the Lord for that. The last Saturday I was there, we had the pastors in, and these pastors gave reports on what they were doing in their ministries and gave written reports, and it was good to see in their reports people being saved. This work on the other side of Buchanan is actually being shepherd by the work in Gardnersville, 2.5-3 hours away. And this pastor in Gardnersville has a burden for that area, knows some of the people in that area. He makes a trip over there. It's a long trip, a hard trip, but he does it every other month. He spends 4 or 5 days there lecturing and instructing the people in the ways of Christ. And as I said, they have 45 to 50 people who come to those meetings every Lord's Day. So we have the makings of six churches. We had others that were there in these churches. One of the blessings this time was that before I left, about a month before I left, gifts started coming to me to take and to be used there in Liberia. Gifts that were not asked for, gifts that were not, people weren't told what the needs were. But one man, when I was up in Port Hope, came from the Toronto church. And he said, would you mind carrying $3,000 with you back to Liberia and using that in Liberia? He wasn't even from Port Hope. He just came out to the meetings. He had given a gift before that helped us get the bookstore off the ground. And this time he came, Lord, burden his heart, would you use this gift? Well, before we left the last time, we had the burden laid before us. So one of these churches needed to be re-roofed. And we didn't come and tell all the people what the need was. But here the Lord remembered, and this guy gave that money, and that money covered the re-roofing of this church and the survey of the land that needed to be done. Another gift came in from someone. They said, can you use this with the children? And went there, didn't know what the needs were of the children, but this man coming down from Foya County has 350 children that he is taking care of, educating, as well as feeding. Most of them are without any parental supervision. And the one night, Wednesday night, we had him over to the guest house. We said, what are the needs? What's going on there? And he says, well, we have a number of needs. One of it is food. He said the government was giving us some subsidy, but we're a religious school, and they just cut that all off. So here we have 350 children, no parental supervision, no parental help. And most of these, the only meal they get a day is what we give them at school. So we talked to him about what the needs were. And we mapped out a plan, as it were, for those needs. And that would take the money that we had and then some. Well, didn't know it, but Joanne Greer was given some money by George McConnell, who also received money from a lady in Northern Ireland. Both of the gifts I'm speaking of now came from two widows. And with that gift, coupled with the other gifts that I had, it met the need exactly. And here's the Lord touching the hearts of two widows thousands of miles away. Not knowing what the needs are there in Liberia, and we get to Liberia, and here is the need, and almost to the penny, that need is being met by these two ladies who just felt touched of the Lord to give toward that work. And as I can't go into all the details tonight, but I carried $5,000 with me to Liberia from four different gifts, and all of that went out to some particular need that was there in Liberia. I say that to say, someone was asking me about Liberia, and I said, one of the amazing things that has touched my own heart over the 5 years that we've been going is just to see the way the Lord has touched the hearts of his people. Here are people that you haven't made any appeal. You're not pleading with money. And the Lord touches their hearts and said, would you take this and help somebody there? And here are these people, they're there praying. They've got nowhere else to go. I mean, up in Fouria County, there's no food. Where do you go? And they go to the Lord, and here we ask them about their need. They express their need, and in our pocket, we've got the money that they're needing to help meet that need. It's just been amazing the way the Lord has put those things together. We're seeing a maturity of the churches there for which we give the Lord thanks. There is a need for maturity in the furthering of the work. And each time we go, we see more of that, and we praise the Lord for his mercy to them. The Lord is saving. These men are becoming stronger in the things of Christ. We see the church is becoming more and more established on biblical basis rather than a Pentecostal basis that had been a corrupting influence in the land there in Liberia. And so we're thankful for your prayers. I personally am thankful for your prayers. I know you met on Tuesday night and prayed. Tuesday night was the first night I slept the whole night through, given the heat and what we were going through. There was like four or five nights there, didn't sleep at all. And Tuesday night I slept, and I said, I know this is Tuesday. I know what week of the day of the week this is, and the people of God are praying. So the Lord is answering prayer in small ways and large ways. Paul is now looking for land. That's why he stayed back another week. He thinks that we have come across some things there that will be a blessing. We'll see if that works out. If it does, it may mean that Joanne Greer then can go as a missionary to Liberia. And it may mean that we'll have a place where we can put up a guest house, which in the long run would save us money as far as coming and going, and also a place where a missionary could stay and labor. So keep praying. The Lord is working. He is answering prayer. I'm not going to take any more time. I want our brother Ron to have plenty of time tonight. But I do thank you for your prayers, and the Lord certainly is answering prayer on behalf of his people.